Blog Talk Radio.
It's Mom Zone. Breaking news, the Fremont family declares where they're going for back to school.
The Fremonts are going with Academy.
Mrs. Fremont, why Academy over another store?
When my kids say they'll never use math in the real world, I just show them how low my Academy receipt is.
Do you have any other thoughts?
Look, back to school is a numbers game, and numbers don't lie.
Nobody starts your season with better brands and lower prices than Academy. Academy Sports and Outdoors. For all, for less. Price match guarantee details at academy.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And I thank God for all of his blessings received today. And I pray that you have worshiped him today, gave him thanks today for just the very air that you breathe, for just taking another breath, because he is our creator, and we should worship him. We should give thanks to him. We should glorify him with every breath that we have. I am just excited to be in this land of the living, to be used by God for another purpose, another day. And I pray that you are excited with me. Thank you for your faithfulness in this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio. I tell you, it's been a beautiful, awesome ride to always be ready to give a good word of our faith, and that is Jesus Christ. So we are going to really have an interesting lesson today. I tell you, it is concerning anointed by God. This is our topic today, anointed by God. And I trust and believe and pray that you will continue with me throughout the duration of this broadcast today, because I tell you, it's a good, rich topic concerning anointed by God. So before I get started, I just want to offer up a sweet prayer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we bless one another in prayer, as we saturate ourselves in prayer to be hearers of the word and also doers of the word, so that we can be used by God. And as we move through this lesson, you'll see why. Lord Jesus Christ, if you would touch and agree with me as we pray a beautiful prayer to our Lord and Savior. Dear Lord, we come together as believers, as your body, as your children, touching and agreeing that you will move through this lesson, move through our hearts, Lord Jesus, that you would reveal the sweet nuggets that you want us to know on this very day. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Breathe upon us, Lord. Give us an ear to hear, and give us a heart to serve, and a joy to worship. Lord, we know that your word is alive and it is breathing. And so we just want you to breathe afresh on us today as we come prepared, ready to receive and enjoy you and eat the richness of your word from your banquet table. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to just enjoy you, for you want us to enjoy your beauty. We pray this prayer today, Lord, in Jesus' holy and matchless name. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying with me today as we move through this lesson. Now, I have a question, and the question is, have you thought about the anointing of God, and what does it mean to be anointed? Have you thought about it? Have you ever thought about the anointing of God upon you? And what does it mean to be anointed? Now, a non-believer does not know the things of God, but a believer does. According to 1 John Now, take note of these passages because you can read them in detail, the full chapter, and you can read them in detail. But according to 1 John 2:20, listen to what it says. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, remember, I said a non-believer does not know the things of God, but a believer does. This verse, 1 John 2:20, is from the context of warning against the Antichrist, false prophets. But you have been anointed, chosen by God, filled with the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to free those who have been held captive by sin. This anointing is a gift of God, so allow it to flow freely from you. As I expose the simplicity and beauty of being anointed by God. So never forget that. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You have been chosen and anointed by God. And that is to further the gospel of Jesus Christ, to build the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But for those of you who may be listening and may not know or have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you would come to know him in the pardoning of your sins. So let's just get this handled. We will handle this right now because I do not want to move through this lesson assuming and that every listener to this broadcast is saved. So as my brothers and sisters in Christ who are with me listening to this broadcast right now, if you would humble your heart, pray with me, and believe by faith that you are a sinner and believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then prepare yourself, come humbly before the grace of God, and extend your hands or give your heart to him. So, brothers and sisters, let's just camp out right now and let's pray for somebody who may not know our Lord and Savior in the pardoning of their sins. So let's take them to the Lord in prayer. And for those who are listening and you don't know if you're saved or not, you don't know if you're going to heaven, I implore you to pray right now and give your life to Christ. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on that old rugged cross for me. Please forgive me for my sins. Because I believe Jesus died on that cross for my sins, I accept him as my Lord and Savior. Wholeheartedly, I accept him as my Lord and Savior. I believe by faith that he is my Savior. Wash me, Lord God. Purify me that I will be with you in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So if you prayed that simple prayer with a humbleness of heart, with a whole heart, with a sincere heart, then you are saved. Now it's time for you to get into a Bible-believing church and stay tuned to this broadcast every week that you will be discipled and you will be baptized at that church and let others know that you are a child of God and you walk by faith, that you tell somebody, I am saved. I am born again. Hallelujah. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying with me concerning someone that you may have lifted up in prayer, that they would come to know Jesus intimately and personally, that they will not perish. Thank you again. So let's get right to this lesson. It is a beautiful lesson, and I thank God for the Holy Spirit revealing to me and using me for his purpose. And this is our prayer for one another as believers in Christ Jesus. So what I want to do is I want to look at the word anointed or anointing, and I want to look at the definition of that. And if you would, take note of this simple definition. And it says that the word anointed or anointing, to pour oil upon, to pour oil upon, used for healing or consecration, to sacred duty, used for burial, figuratively, for divine appointment. Figurative, for divine appointment. We've heard the term anointed or anointing, meaning the practice, and anointed, meaning chosen. My points for today concerning anointed by God are these. First point being original practice or origin practice. Second point, symbolic practice. Third point, holy purpose. Very simple. Point one, original practice. Two, symbolic practice. And three, holy purpose. So stick with me, because we're going to move pretty swiftly, and I want you to take note of these awesome passages and scriptures that will solidify your anointing. Now, we've heard the meaning to pour oil upon. Let's look at that. Now, the original or the origin of anointing was from a practice of shepherds. Listen to what the shepherds did with this particular practice. Now, from a shepherd's perspective, and I haven't been a shepherd, but I am under a shepherd, and I know that they used this practice for sheep, and it was because lice and other insects would get into their wool of the sheep. And when they got near the sheep's head, around their head, they would kind of tunnel in or burrow in to the sheep's ear and kill them. So the shepherds would pour this oil on the sheep's head. This made the wool slippery. Very slippery, making it impossible for the insects to get near the ears of the sheep, because the insects would slide off because of the oil. Now, this was the practice of the shepherd in doing so. Now, I have an insight, because as I thought about this, the shepherd taking care of the sheep, how? By pouring up on their head what? An oil. For what purpose? To keep out insects, lice, that would prevent them from dying. And then they would use it to preserve or maintain their sheep. Now, Think about it this way. We know Jesus Christ as the great shepherd. He poured himself into the sheep, that's us, the believers, by way of the Holy Spirit. That's the anointing oil. Holy, set apart to be used for a specific purpose. That's you and me. This is a familiar passage, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And a lot of people are familiar with this particular passage. Let's read Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And a future. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Jeremiah 29:11. Now, the great shepherd poured himself into the sheep, the body of Christ, the believers, by way of the Holy Spirit, because we gave our hearts to Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit sits on the throne of our heart, and he lives inside of us. So we are now set apart for a specific purpose of God. And that is for the furtherance of his kingdom. Our purpose is for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, spreading the gospel so that no one would go to hell. This is our mission. But that was a beautiful insight that I saw when I looked at how the shepherd took care of his sheep just by pouring oil on their head, keeping them alive. And the insects or the lice, I like to look at that from the perspective of the evil one trying to destroy or come against the body of Christ, the evil one, and trying to tear us down to where we would not be full of our purpose or ready like a soldier for our purpose, to come against us and weaken us as believers in Christ Jesus, to stifle the word of God from going forth and hinder us from preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, administering the gospel of Jesus Christ, that no one would be left behind. That's the life of the world. That's our adversary, seeking whom he can destroy, the sheep. And I just thought that was a beautiful insight from looking at the practice of a shepherd. And this is where anointing originated, from shepherds. Now, they used an oil for a purpose, and that was to make the sheep's wool slippery. So it was a barrier, if you will, to keep the lice and insects from killing the sheep. Something as simple as that. Oil. Now, let's look at anointing as symbolic It is a symbolic practice. Now, anointing became symbolic of blessing, protection, and empowerment. Now, as we saw the sheep and we saw the shepherd and we saw how he took the oil and poured it on their heads, the sheep now, and that blessed them in a way to where the insects would not penetrate into their ear and kill them. It was a protection to where it would knot them out. And they were a purpose for the sheep, for the shepherd. The sheep were a purpose. How does that look? How do we look at that concerning ourselves? The anointing of the Holy Spirit, which lives inside of us, is a blessing to every one of God's children. We know that. Why do we know that? How do we know that? Because he is working the fruit of the Spirit in every believer, Christ follower. He's working that fruit in us, that it would come out of us. For what? God's purpose, specific purpose. And we know that fruit to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. These are to be worked out. They're in, but they are to come out of us, God's purpose. So let's look at the symbolic anointing. Now, we know what it means. We saw the shepherd smear. We saw the shepherd pour and rub the oil. And its implication is to consecrate. Now, let's look at how, in the Old Testament, they anointed the tabernacle or the tent of meeting or the place of meeting. Let's look at Exodus 25. So if you would walk with me to Exodus 25, verse 6. Exodus 25, verse 6. And it reads this way. I love the pages of a Bible turning. Verse 6, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense. Olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense. And these were offerings for the tabernacle. So let's back up to verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, and I'm reading this in the NIV translation, so follow with me. The Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. That's an important point, whose heart prompts him to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet, yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and hides of a sea cow, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense. And we're going to stop right there. And God was specific in his request of Moses, very specific. And if we drop down to verse 8, it says, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. So there was specific instructions from God concerning the anointing oil, and it said spices for the anointing oil. And some commentary indicates that the spices for the anointing oil were myrrh, contained myrrh, cinnamon, and other natural ingredients. There is no indication that the oil or the ingredients had any supernatural power. So it's not in the oil, it's not in the, to any degree, but it was symbolic. The practice was symbolic, very symbolic. So this is what they did. They anointed or sprinkled the oil on the heads of the high priest, on his descendants, and sprinkling the tabernacle and its furnishings to mark them as holy and set apart for the Lord. And that's what we have inside of us, the Holy Spirit, because we are set apart for God's purpose. And sometimes we've had, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we come into a new home, or as we come into a new building for worship, as we come into something that we want to use to set apart for God's purpose, whether it be our house, whether it be our prayer room or our prayer closet, whether it be a new sanctuary in a church that has been built, whether it be to prepare ourselves, what do? We may use the anointing of prayer, the anointing of oil that has been blessed or prayed for. But the purpose of doing this is that it would be set apart for God's purpose. When we are in our prayer closet or our prayer room or our place that we have set aside for that, we don't want any disturbances. We want to be in oneness with God. When we pray, when we communicate with him, when we sup with him, we want it to be holy and consecrated in prayer. And we use those things for him to speak to us. Set it apart for that. And that is a very important practice of a believer in Christ Jesus. We need to do that. And I implore you, if you don't start practicing, they did that when they were setting the tabernacle up according to God's specific commands. And they used the cinnamon, the myrrh, and some other natural ingredients in order to prepare it. Now think about this. Let's think about this. Remember when they prepared the body of Jesus, when they brought him down off the cross, they prepared his body with different natural herbs and spices. Think about that. All of this is symbolic to Jesus coming. Think about that. So God gave specific instruction, and they symbolically consecrated people, heads, for kings and high priests and their descendants for office or religious service. Anoint means to smear, to rub with oil, to consecrate for office or religious service. The Bible, in the Bible times, people were anointed with oil to signify God's blessing and call on that person's life. And we are familiar with David in 1 and 2 Samuel. We know that the prophet Samuel went and anointed little boy David, a shepherd boy, and anointed him with oil, symbolic practice, to signify that he will be the next king. His head was anointed oil. And we know that this was a common practice in that time, signifying that he was blessed by God and called by God. Now, that's you and that's me. We, as his children, are called by him. We are blessed abundantly. We are heaven-bound, and we are called for a purpose, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We have been anointed with the Holy Spirit, that the fruit will be worked out of us. Now, yes, some of us still need some working in those areas of patience. Some of us, brothers and sisters, need some working in those areas of self-control, taming the tongue, hold your tongue. And some of us need some working out in gentleness. But you know what? They're in you. And as we work out our soul salvation, one day they will come out of us. If we let him, if we do not grieve the Holy Spirit, those fruit will show forth. And we will be pruned, but it's worth it because it's for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is the furtherance of the kingdom of God, that the gospel go forth, that your descendants, that your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your own children, your spouses, and anyone else in your circle of influence will not be left behind. Our purpose is to preach and teach and minister and administer the gospel, serve with a servant's heart. We have been anointed by God, called, set apart for a purpose. Now, whatever your ministry may be, brother, whatever your ministry may be, sister, you talk it out with God. And you allow him through the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you so that he would say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Isn't that what you want to hear from our Savior? Isn't that pleasing to your ear? Well done, my good and faithful servant. What a joy that will be. So let's move on. Let's look at some more symbolic practices of the oil in Scripture. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 8, verse 30. Leviticus 8, verse 30. And it reads this way. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood from the altar and sprinkled them on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and their garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons and their garments, set apart for a purpose. And we know that Aaron was used and anointed by God as priest, and his sons. We are to anoint our children, that our children will anoint our grandchildren, and that our grandchildren will be anointed, and so on and so on. How do we anoint them? We anoint them by the word of God. We lead them to Jesus Christ, that they will accept him as their Lord and Savior, that he will come in them and set up residence on or in their heart. We pass this on to our generations, just as it was practiced symbolically by Moses and Aaron and his sons and generations to come. This is our purpose, so that they will go and be discipled, that they would be disciples making disciples, that they make disciples. The living water that lives inside of us will flow everlasting from generation to generation. This is the practice. Coming out of Leviticus chapter 8, verse 30. And lastly, let's look at Numbers 4. Numbers 4, verse 16. Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, is to have charge of the oil for the light, the fragrant incense, the regular grain offering, and the anointing oil. He is to be in charge of the entire tabernacle and everything in it, including its holy furnishings and articles. They were in charge. That was their purpose. By God. They were assigned. Now we know David, when the prophet Samuel anointed David, we knew he would be the next king of Israel. He would be in charge. And God appointed him. Well, let's bring it closer to home. Who are we? We have been anointed by the Holy Spirit, by God, filled with the Holy Spirit inside. So that means we are to make sure our children come into the family of faith, that our grandchildren come into the ark of faith. And generations to come. This is our charge, that others will come to know him. That's why we pray. That's why we extend the gospel in all its beauty, in the purpose-filled way that God has given each and every brother and sister in Christ. We have been charged, brothers and sisters. And we are to man up, if you will. I love the way it is put in Luke 10, verse 2. Luke 10, verse 2. And it reads this way: the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. That's me and you. There's a harvest out there hungry for the word of God, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Now, does that mean we have to go into the highways and byways and we have to preach to every lost soul on the corner? That may not be your calling. Not to say that's not your purpose, but it may not be your calling. Yours might be right there in your home with your spouse. Love and lead all people to life change in Christ. Love him and lead him. Love her and lead her to Christ. In the home, love your children and lead them to life change in Christ. And then there are those who are out there in the mission field proclaiming the gospel. There are those who are in the church preaching the gospel. And then there are those who are in small groups, discipling the gospel. The harvest is plenty. Scripture says, pray for the laborers. That's me and you. So walk in your purpose, walk in your calling. If you don't know it, what it is, pray about it. And ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it. And be sincere, because he will reveal it to you. So now you see how symbolic it was to appoint and anoint one for the calling or for the purpose of God. David was done that way, and so many others. But David is a favorite passage, or 1 Samuel is a favorite passage that most of us know concerning this symbolic practice. Some of us, or some believers, look at the oil as being this magic or majestic or mystical type of substance that seems to bring powers and miracles and things of that nature. No, we can't get this misconstrued as believers in Christ. That's why it's so important to study to show thyself approved unto God, so that you will not believe lies, that you will not believe false prophets, that you will not believe things that appear to be right, but they are not. The oil itself does not have any power, none. It is only God who can anoint a person for a specific purpose. Don't get it mixed up. It's only God who can anoint a person for a specific person. If we use oil, it is only a symbol of what God is doing. It's only a symbol of what God is doing. Nothing wrong with it, but don't get it misunderstood. It's a symbol. That is the symbolic practice of what they did. Let's look at Mark chapter 14. So move over to the New Testament. And we're going to look at Mark 14, and we're going to start at verse 3. And I know it's a lot of movement through Scripture, but I enjoy it because I love for the Scriptures to teach in light of Scripture. Mark 14, verse 3. We'll start at verse 3. And we'll read through verse 9. While he was in Bethany, talking about Jesus, while he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very, very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Remember, we talked about that in the beginning with the shepherd and the sheep. Verse 4, some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Now remember, we said that anointing or anointed, the meaning of the word anointed or anointing, to pour oil upon, used for healing or consecration to sacred duty, which we saw that in Aaron and his sons. We saw that in Samuel, being the next king, King David, being the next king, and used for burial. And this is what Jesus said in verse 8. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. In verse 9, I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will always be told in memory of her. Amen. In memory of her. Used for burial. And then, of course, we indicated that anointed or anointing means figurative for divine appointment. And that divine appointment is given to us by way of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. We have been anointed and appointed by God. So Jesus called them out. He said, leave her alone. She is symbolically practicing what was being practiced in the Old Testament. She used that oil from that alabaster box to anoint Jesus. And he received that to be a good thing, a beautiful thing. And then he says in verse 9, which was so beautifully put, I tell you the truth, whenever the gospel is preached, like today, throughout the world, what she has done will always be told in memory of her. Amen. Symbolic practice. Mary anoints Jesus' feet as an act of worship. In James 5:14, and if you would go there, in James chapter 5, verse 14, the church elders anointed the sick with oil for healing. Let's read James chapter 5, and we're going to move to 14. James 5. Verse 14. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. So, we know as believers in Christ Jesus, as the body of Christ, that we are God's instrument to lay hands on the sick. Because the living oil, the anointing oil, lives inside of us. And we are God's instrument, his earthen vessels, to be used to heal the sick. So when we are racked with pain, lay hands on yourself. And if you just don't have enough strength to do so, call over the elders that they will lay hands on you. When you are called by a brother or sister or someone that may not even be in the faith, but they know you are called by God, go forth and lay hands on their loved one, that they will be healed, that God would do a miracle through you because you are a willing vessel. Lay hands on the sick, sick in the mind, sick with body, in body, physical sickness, mental sickness. Some are spiritual sick. Pray prayers of healing. Touch them. Embrace them. The power of the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are a little lazy. So man your station. Put on the full armor of God. Be suited and booted with the armor of God, filled with the fruit of the Spirit, ready for battle. As we know, the Antichrist is seeking whom he can devour. Don't be a sheep who is allowing lice and insects to kill him. Now, what do I mean by lice and insects? It's that stuff in the world that has tendencies to cause a sheep to go astray, led to slaughter. It's the devices, all of the vices in the world that cause us to waver in our faith. In our faith, like a fish out of water. It's the ways of the world that cause believers to dim their lights down. Or some of us have even said, put our religion on the shelf. We never want to come out of character. Our character is the fruit of the Spirit, God's character. We are made in his image. So symbolic practice is to spread the gospel with the anointing oil that lives inside of you and me, burning, flickering. We are lights in a dark place. That was the oil in the lamp. Let's look at the foolish wives real quickly. Go over to Matthew 25, And we're going to start at verse 1. Matthew 25, verse 1. Matthew 25, verse 1, and we're going to read through 13, the parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied. "There may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins were ready. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for me. Open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Amen. Amen. I love that parable. It's rich in meaning. It's got depth in meaning, but simplistically, keep your light so shining. Always fuel the fire of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Never dim your light. Never allow the Holy Spirit to be grieved inside of you. How do I keep the fire burning? In a marriage, what do? We fuel the fire. We add a little more kindling. How do I do that? By reading the Word of God, spending time with Him. Read and study to show thyself approved unto God. And you allow the Anointed One to fuel inside of you, that those fruit will work beautifully through you. This is the gift that God wants to come from His earthen vessels, His chosen, His anointed, His called ones, the body, believers in Christ Jesus. Don't let the oil run out. Because you nor I know the day that our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, will come back for His bride. And we always want to be prepared and ready. That's a soldier. He never lets his guard down. We are soldiers in the army of God. And I tell you, this has been an amazing lesson. I pray and hope it has been to you in such a simplistic way. Very beautiful. And always know, never doubt, that Jesus has anointed you. He has called you for a purpose, according to Jeremiah 29:11. That is my last point, the holy purpose of God. It's to further the kingdom, God's great kingdom. That no one be left behind, that no one will be in captivity of their sin, that we would extend the gospel of Jesus Christ just as we did in opening this broadcast. You have been called, saints, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you. I implore you to share this lesson anointed by God. I hope it's encouraged you and just empowered you to believe and know that you can walk in freedom, that you can hold your head up and you can tell somebody, I am a child of the Most High God. I have been called, I have been anointed, and I have been appointed by God the Father to preach and teach and minister, to lay hands, to pray without ceasing. Because we have a lot of lost and sick people in this world. So man up, stand up, and speak out, because you are a child of God. God bless you, and thank you for listening to this broadcast. Always remember that the grass withers and the flowers faded away, but the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. God bless you, brothers and sisters, and thank you for being faithful to Mission from the Heart broadcast. And I pray that you will go into all the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you again, and God bless.
It's Mom Zone. Breaking news, the Fremont family declares where they're going for back to school.
The Fremonts are going with Academy.
Mrs. Fremont, why Academy over another store?
When my kids say they'll never use math in the real world, I just show them how low my Academy receipt is.
You have any other thoughts?
Look, back to school is a numbers game, and numbers don't lie.
Nobody starts your season with better brands and lower prices than Academy. Academy Sports and Outdoors. For all, for less. Price match guarantee details at academy.com.
It's Mom Zone. Breaking news, the Fremont family declares where they're going for back to school.
The Fremonts are going with Academy.
Mrs. Fremont, why Academy over another store?
When my kids say they'll never use math in the real world, I just show them how low my Academy receipt is.
You have any other thoughts?
Look, back to school is a numbers game, and numbers don't lie.
Nobody starts your season with better brands and lower prices than Academy. Academy Sports and Outdoors. For all, for less. Price match guarantee details at academy.com.